Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in the book of 2 Samuel, and today we'll be reading a big chunk of chapter 14. 2 Samuel 14, 1 through 24. Now Joab the son of Zeruiah knew that the king's heart went out to Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and brought from there a wise woman and said to her, "Pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning garments. Do not anoint yourself with oil, but behave like a woman who has been mourning many days for the dead. Go to the king and speak thus to him." So Joab put the words in her mouth. When the woman of Tekoa came to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and paid homage and said, "Save me, O king." And the king said to her, "What is your trouble?" She answered, "Alas, I am a widow. My husband is dead. And your servant had two sons. And they quarreled with one another in the field. There was no one to separate them, and one struck the other and killed him. And now the whole clan has risen against your servant, and they say, 'Give up the man who struck his brother, that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed.' And so they would destroy the heir also. Thus they would quench my coal that is left and leave to my husband neither name nor remnant on the face of the earth." Then the king said to the woman, "Go to your house, and I will give orders concerning you." And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, "On me be the guilt, my lord the king, and on my father's house. Let the king and his throne be guiltless." The king said, "If anyone says anything to you, bring him to me, and he shall never touch you again." Then she said, "Please let the king invoke the Lord your God, that the avenger of blood kill no more, and my son be not destroyed." He said, "As the Lord lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground." Then the woman said, "Please let your servant speak a word to my lord the king." He said, "Speak." And the woman said, "Why then have you planned such a thing against the people of God? For in giving this decision, the king convicts himself, inasmuch as the king does not bring his banished one home again. We must all die. We are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. But God will not take away life, and he devises means so that the banished one will not remain an outcast. Now I have come to say this to my lord the king, because the people have made me afraid, and your servant thought, 'I will speak to the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his servant.' For the king will hear and deliver his servant from the hand of the man who would destroy me and my son together from the heritage of God. And your servant thought, 'This word of my lord the king will set me at rest. For my lord the king is like the angel of God to discern good and evil. The Lord your God be with you.' Then the king answered the woman, 'Do not hide from me anything I ask you.' And the woman said, 'Let my lord the king speak.' The king said, 'Is the hand of Joab with you in all this?' The woman answered and said, 'As surely as you live, my lord the king, one cannot turn to the right hand or to the left from anything that my lord the king has said. It was your servant Joab who commanded me. It was he who put all these words in the mouth of your servant. In order to change the course of things, your servant Joab did this. But my lord has wisdom like the wisdom of the angel of God, to know all things that are on the earth." Then the king said to Joab, "Behold now, I grant this. Go, bring back the young man Absalom." And Joab fell on his face to the ground and paid homage and blessed the king. And Joab said, "Today your servant knows that I have found favor in your sight, my lord the king, and that the king has granted the request of his servant." So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, "Let him dwell apart in his own house. He is not to come into my presence." So Absalom lived apart in his own house and did not come into the king's presence. Our passage today contains a lot. And I'll admit that the first time I read through it, I was kind of lost with the whole story within a story aspect. But read through it a little more carefully, and you see a wonderful scene of King David's heart being moved. For some reason, I was really reminded of like a Disney movie or a fairy tale, and so our recap will be stylized accordingly. There once was a king whose name was David. The king had a son called Absalom, who committed a crime and ran away. For 3 long years, the king longed to see his son, but he wouldn't leave his castle to go find him. The king's loyal advisor, seeing how the king grieved, devised a plan. He sent a woman to seek audience with the king, and the woman told King David a story about how her son committed a crime, and now the whole family wanted to punish him. Seeing the woman's grief, David decided that it was more important for this woman to be with her son than to punish the son, and he told this to her. The woman then asked David, "Why do you not bring your banished one home again?" David realized that Joab sent this woman to help him see the error of his ways, and how it was better to bring Absalom home and forgive him than to keep him banished for his crimes. The king made up his mind, and summoning his advisor Joab, he told him, "Behold now, I grant this. Go, bring back the young man Absalom." David learns a lesson here that he had forgotten through the story from the woman and from Joab. He learns the importance of forgiveness once again. He's reminded of how good it is to forgive those who have done wrong and pour out to them grace. It's a particularly strong lesson because David himself was shown great forgiveness by God. Earlier in the book of 2 Samuel, just 3 chapters before today's passage, we see what's often considered David's greatest sin, that regarding Bathsheba and Uriah. David abuses his power to sleep with a married woman and then has her husband killed to cover up his own wrongdoing. And yet, even in such an egregious act of sin, God forgives David. We worship a God who is faithful to forgive. And that forgiveness should transform how we deal with the wrongs that we suffer in our lives. And because David experienced this faithful forgiveness from God, we see that he's able to have this change of heart and forgive Absalom and call him back home. In the same way for us, it can be easy to feel that we're justified in condemning or holding grudges. But actually, this new reality that God sets before us is one where we forgive greatly, even when it means forgetting the crimes that have been committed against us. Now, I'll be honest, every time we talk about forgiving others in the church, I'm personally tempted to tune out. I don't think I'm particularly prone to holding grudges. And actually, for some reason, I'm fortunate enough to not really have many big examples of people that have really wronged me. Now, for some of you, perhaps there are some big hurts and betrayals and broken relationships that come to mind as we reflect today. And I would encourage you to really pray and seek God's help in forgiving. But if you're like me, this might not immediately translate into application. If that's the case, here's my challenge to you. As we go about our day, I can guarantee you that you will come to experience a lot of small wrongs. A roommate eats your yogurt cup without asking you. You get cut off on your way to work. Your friend says something that rubs you the wrong way. Your mom or dad call and talk more about themselves than they ask about you. Let's reflect God's forgiveness in even these small things, even these small wrongs. I think sometimes that can actually be just as difficult as forgiving others in the big things. Remember, it's not about who's right and who's wrong and who deserves what punishment. God was willing to forgive regardless. I'll close out by pointing out the kicker of our passage, the reason why it's not happily ever after. You see, when Joab travels to Geshur at David's command and brings back Absalom and all is about to be right again, David says, "Let him dwell apart in his own house. He is not to come into my presence." Like, what? David, what are you doing? For some reason, David brings back Absalom, but refuses to meet him face to face and fully reconcile with his son. And we'll go on to see how this relationship, which was so close to being repaired, falls apart after this, and eventually ends with great tragedy. Just know today that God's forgiveness is not like David's incomplete forgiveness. His reconciliation is perfect and complete and full of love for you. When he called you back into his courtroom, he was ready to see you face to face. And now, you and I are always in the intimate presence of our Father, always forgiven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is faithful to forgive. And I pray that just as you reminded David that he was to forgive, just as you have forgiven him, I pray that we're always reminded of that. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who may be struggling to forgive someone in their life, someone who's committed a great wrong against them. Lord, I also pray for the brothers and sisters that maybe don't really have that one example, but can still make leaps and bounds to live a lifestyle of forgiveness, even in the smallest of things. Lord, I pray that we are always considering your grace and how amazing it is, and I pray that that changes us more and more. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.